the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We always look forward to your call in with your questions and comments in relationship to the issue of the day. We're talking about an issue today that I believe we all should recognize and understand. We should ask the question, why the attacks in New Orleans and in Nevada? What brought about the jihadist attacks? What is the source? What is the rudimentary fundamental cause? We need to dig under the, how would you say, the covering and see what is taking place and why. I believe that's important. I believe that's necessary so that we can understand the future and what may take place in the future. And as we look at this issue today, we're asking the question, when you hear an Islamic say, Allah Akbar, what does that mean? Generally speaking, from all of Islamic writings that I've had the privilege to research and to be the author of a book entitled, Is Islam Tolerant? About 350 pages, 25 chapters, I believe that we find that it is the root cause comes from the Quran. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, there's a section in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, page 36. Subtitle is The Quran and the Pentagon. In news articles from the WorldNet Daily dated September the 27th, 2006, the Pentagon asked intelligence analysts to pinpoint what's driving Muslim after Muslim to do the unthinkable. Their finding is politically explosive. In their holy book, it's their holy book, the Quran, the Pentagon's intelligence analysis reached a conclusion that Muslim suicide bombers are in fact students of the Quran who are motivated to violence by the teachings of the Quran. In Islam, it is not how one lives one's life that guarantees spiritual salvation, but how one dies, according to the Pentagon's intelligence briefings. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's their so-called holy book, which is a demonic writing called the Quran. You heard me correct. It is not a holy book. It's a demonically inspired, demonically directive that if read, believed and embraced will bring about the Islamic terrorist attacks that we've seen recently. So I want us to understand that first and foremost. So let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made in relationship to the scripture. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where truth is generally rejected. Truth is not believed or embraced. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And yet we have those today that refuse to listen to, hear, and acknowledge truth. In fact, according to a major article, headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article opens with the statement about Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary says, truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact. Yet 55% of the same millennials, ladies and gentlemen, say that each person determines their own version of truth. They're claiming there's no such thing as absolute truth. I believe therein lies the problem in so many areas of society today, where there's a sense that you can create your own truth, that you can take real facts, bend them, bifurcate them, change them, modify them, making your own case for truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast that we do that very same thing. That as believers, as Christians, as conservatives, we need to stand on truth, standing on the truth book. We need to seek truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend truth even to death. That same writer, Jan Hus, of the 15th century, said this, do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is truth. That ought to be the mantra of every Christian today and every conservative. This is the reason for this broadcast each and every day, ladies and gentlemen. As we face the issues, we do so. We're facing the issues, whether it be called political, which God didn't call anything political. It was civil government. And God created civil government as God's servants. And today's civil government, or the political world as we know it today, seems to have the idea that they are God unto themselves and they need not obey and follow God. God created civil government as his servant. So as we talk about issues, God created the home, God created the government, and God created the church, and in that order. Anything we discuss, anything we talk about, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we're talking about biblical issues. And so I challenge you each and every day to understand the big picture and to recognize what God is doing and to look at things in local, state, national, international, through the prism of the Word of God, the Bible, as it was called back less than 100 years ago as I was growing up. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is still grieving over the double tragedy at the hands of two Islamic jihadists. In one, that case in New Orleans, the other in Nevada, both are military men, present or former military, that had converted, hear me, had converted to Islam. It's so sad to hear the words of the killer of 15 people and injured of about 35 in New Orleans. And a memo the killer left behind said that he wanted, quote, to reveal the battle between believers and disbelievers. Hear me. He said he wanted to reveal the battle between believers and disbelievers. He's talking about those that are Muslims and those that are non-Muslims. So we could call the issue today the battle between evil and good. The battle between evil and good. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the words from the Islamic holy book, as they call it. It's from the Quran. In the Quran, in Surah, that is chapter 2, 191, says, and kill them, that is all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of the non-Muslim, the disbeliever. So, ladies and gentlemen, these two killers, these two Islamic jihadist terrorists were simply carrying out the orders from Allah as found in the demonic book called the Quran. The demonic book called the Quran. I believe I have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Doc. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Actually, you had brought up something that I had meant to mention. I've noticed that the media, particularly the mainstream media, the narrative seems to be that this individual pledged his allegiance to ISIS, but yet his very first post on Facebook in regards to his actions were, "I was going to commit this against friends and family, but I chose not to because it would detract from the battle between believers and unbelievers," which conveniently is not being lead, or conveniently not being led, is the main headline, but the main headline being he swore allegiance to ISIS there. I believe this is a disservice because it does not, as you have so many times pointed out, it does not highlight that the Quran and Islam itself is a cult of violence and a cult of suppression, oppression, and subjugation.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at the headline, which is probably the same one that you've read. New Orleans terrorist wanted to kill his family but backed off for agenda-driven reason. Authorities are now confirming that Jabbar, who was shot and killed when he got out of his truck and started shooting at the police and others, left multiple videos online in hours before his murderous spree. The New Orleans terrorist began being blamed for the deaths of 15 and injury of dozens of others, drove his truck through the crowded streets of New Orleans early New Year's Day. But he backed off because he was concerned. The article further says he wanted to harm his family, but he backed off because he was concerned that the horror over the news would overshadow what he called a war between believers and disbelievers. This is the footnote to that now part of the article. Evidence is showing that the one-time soldier was radicalized in Islam and was taking the Quran's instructions. I want our listeners to hear that, Jim. Taking the Quran's instructions to destroy those who do not follow Islam's ideological beliefs, literally, end quote. So, Jim, I think that we live in a very precarious world, a very dangerous, dark, devastating society today. When we left the borders open so that the Islamic jihadist terrorists can come in multiple numbers, well, we understand that the FBI said 2 years ago that we have dozens of Islamic terrorist cells in America. Well, we recognize that the Biden administration did nothing to protect us by closing the southern borders. And now there are those that are arguing, Jim, don't even heard any of the arguments on television or not with the mainstream socialist Marxist media, but they're arguing that Trump says that all of this is because of the open borders and that these two men did not come in as illegals. They, in fact, were American citizens, and they both had served in military. And that is true. But the overwhelming majority of those that are out there waiting with the cells, the sleeper cells, as it is called by the FBI, those are the ones that have come into the nation without authorization. They're here as illegal invaders. But these two men, Jim, I don't know if you've done any research on that subject, but do you find it somehow, some way very odd that both these men served at the same time at Fort Hood? And you go back to just a few years ago, it was Major Hassan that was a U.S. military major at Fort Hood. And Hassan stood up and shot several of his fellow soldiers. And he had a business card or calling card, that is Major Hassan, that said SOA, Servant of Allah, on his card. And this is the end result that we see when they follow the Quran. So the question is, what are your thoughts in relationship? Do you see any nexus, any connection? Do you believe that they knew each other? Is it possible that there's something that foments in the minds and the hearts of those that are serving beyond that of just the Quran?
I look at history as being indicative of the past and the future. If you look at the history of Islam, and I'll give you a great example of it, the Barbary Pirates. Thomas Jefferson was the first, we were the first nation to actually confront the Barbary Pirates. The rest of Europe was kowtowing to them and paying their demands. The Marine Corps battle hymn from the shores of Tripoli specifically deals with the incidents where our early constitutional founders, our founding fathers, had to deal with what they used, Islamic Barbary, the Barbary Pirates, the barbarism of impressment by Islamic Allah-following, Quran-believing devotees. And it's nothing different than it is today. You've got a 7th century cult that just does not want to play well with the 21st century Western Judeo-Christian society.
They are wanting to live in that particular cultural mindset. Winston Churchill died in 1965. He said, "How dreadful are the curses which Mohammedism," that's what it was called in that era, "Mohammedism lays at its altars. Individual Muslims may show splendid qualities, but the influence of the religion paralyzes the social development of those who follow it. No stronger retrograde forces exist in the world today." That was made by a statement made by one in the era that could understand and see what was taking place more in that area. In fact, Dr. Mark Gabriel, a former professor at Islamic Studies at the Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt, said, "Islam is evil, very, very evil, very dangerous." You find that is a statement over and over and over in relationship to what is the truth of Islam, and yet you don't find that being told on any broadcast today whatsoever. Dr. Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, said, "The Islamic Brotherhood and Hamas, from which CARE, that's Council on American Islamic Relations, is derived, have affirmed the traditional Islamic notion that law of Islam must be ultimately imposed on all by the Muslim culture, Muslim community," end quote. I find it sad, Jim, that we are in a society today where truth is repressed. And also I find it sad where you find, because of the diversity, equity, and equality and equity, we find recruitment of military men today, not based on their ability to do war, not on their based on their ability to be good soldiers, but based on their ethnicity, their gender, and how they fit into the gender mindset of this presidential leadership. So what is the answer, Jim, in your opinion?
For the secular world, there is no answer. You either tolerate it or you do something about it. For the rest of the world, and really for all of the world, it's Jesus Christ. You know, it's just that simple. There's going to continue to be these types of individuals that are going to be fanatical for their cult until the return of Jesus Christ. They have an ultimate... they're an ultimate tool in God's workshop that will bring about His glory. I don't know all the reasons why, but they're going to be a big player on the scene there. And then when Christ returns, He's going to let everybody know. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And at that point, then they will realize their mistake. But until then, it's up to us as Christians to evangelize, spread the word of love, hope, peace, joy, and Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Jim, one other thing before I let you go. Look at the headline, "Brother of the New Orleans Terrorist Confirms Motivation Was Jihadism or Jihadist." In part, Of course, the article reads about carrying the ISIS flag on his truck as he drove through the crowd. It says, but the suspect's brother has now confirmed that while his brother was a Christian early in his life, he had converted to Islam a long time ago. The article further says he confirmed the now deceased suspect had converted to Islam and was a Muslim for the most part of his life. Now, I find that ironic. How does a Christian convert to Islam? How does a Christian leave the God, the Creator God, and follow a false God? Because you see, Muhammad, when he went into what is called the Kaaba box, which is in Mecca today, where they go and do their Hajj and circle until they drop dead to prove that they love Allah. When Muhammad first found that, there were 360 false gods, the little statues. And Muhammad selected the one that was the moon god of the Bedouins of that day. A statue, a moon god, a false god. I find it sad that mega hundreds of millions of people around the globe will adhere to a false god and reject the true living God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it deserves our prayers, our recognition of the danger that is before us in the world in which we're living, and recognize what a wonderful privilege it is to be saved, to serve as Christians, to serve the true God. You see, in Christianity, and you're familiar with this, our listeners may not be, we serve a true God. We serve a God that through his son died for us that we might live for him. Under Allah and Mohammedism, the ardent follower must die for the God, whereas our God, Jesus Christ, died for us that we might serve him. So it's a very, very, very needful thing for people to recognize the need for a Savior today, to say yes to Jesus. Jim, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you, and Happy New Year to you and your family. Thank you so much.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Have with me today Dr. Davis. Dr. Davis and I'll be talking about this subject today, the true God versus the false God. Allah Akbar, what does it mean? What do the Islamic belief system say about Jesus? What does the Quran say about God? What does the Quran teach these that are so weak-minded that they read the Quran, believe the Quran? And Dr. Davis, I really believe what happens is demon spirits infest the body and the mind and the heart and the belief system of those that open the demonic book, read it, believe it, and adhere to it and follow it. What are your thoughts in relationship to this phenomenon that we're witnessing today? Where, in fact, let me just put this little footnote to that question. After this took place on New Year's Day with these two horrific terrorist jihadist attacks, thousands and thousands in New York City gathered in major streets and highways there, praising Islam, praising the Palestinians, wishing death to the Jewish people, etc., etc. What do you see as the cause and effect of this in America? What's causing it? What do we need to do? What is the corrective measure that we need to take?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, let me say good morning to all of my family and friends this morning and everyone that's listening on today. Thank God for all of you that prayed for us as we went through our ordeal. God is still good. We're looking for him, amen, to keep working it out for us. Mm-hmm. But let me say, Dr. Youngblood, in response to what you and Brother Jim just got finished saying, I think the biggest part of our problem, and I know we're getting ready to go to our break, but the biggest part of our problem in America is tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Tolerance has come back, if it makes any sense, what I'm about to say. Tolerance have come back to shoot us in the foot.
Yes.
We have shot our own selves in the foot because we tolerate any and everything coming from people who claim to want to be U.S. citizens, / mm-hmm. who claim to want to be Christians mm-hmm. and a part of the body of Christ, only to find out that they were wolves in sheep's clothing the whole time.
Yes.
Now, anybody can come along and put on airs until they accomplish their end goals mm-hmm. at any time, from any particular point of view. I mean, any subject we want to look at where all of these problems exist, but namely, because our U.S. government, is so tolerant to people who come to America and say that they want to be U.S. citizens, I will abide by the Constitution, so forth and so on, all the laws in America. Now, let me flip the script. If we go to their country, we have to do as the Romans do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why doesn't that apply the same for America? Now, a friend and I were talking about this after this young man committed these acts over in New Orleans and then the bombing in Las Vegas at Trump's hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the military background, the military connection, in our military, and he's an ex-Marine,
mm-hmm.
and this is not the first time I heard this, our armed forces allow people to come in and practice whatever religion they want to, even Satanism.
Right.
They worship the devil,
mm-hmm.
and they're welcomed to be a part of our military. That's where we're making our biggest mistakes at.
Absolutely.
That's what's causing the problems that we're seeing that's happening right now. And it's sad to say that this young man was an Army veteran, and he turned around and he committed such a heinous crime such as this.
Absolutely.
So what we need to do, we need to go back, and especially in the church, go back to the basic foundations of the Word of God and stand on it. Just like God has a zero tolerance for sin, no sin is going into heaven. He didn't say nowhere in this word that you can be Baptist, you can be Methodist, you can be Presbyterian, you can be a Muslim, you can be this and you can be that and still come into heaven. He said, be ye holy. Now, I don't care what church you attend, but if you're not holy, if you're not born again, if you've not received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have been filled with God's Spirit, you're not saved.
Absolutely.
So the bottom line is, we in the church are allowing unsaved people to come in, and they have not committed to Christ. They look like it from the outside, and they put on these airs, like I said before, and this is why these kind of things are happening, and they're catching us by surprise.
Absolutely. I think there's a real indication here, Dr. Davis, that somehow, some way, our churches are not as effective as we need to be in implanting the truth of the Word of God in the hearts of the individuals. And at the same time, the old cliche, you've heard, you can lead a horse to water but can't make him drink. The number of folks in our churches today that they come out of rote habit and not coming to learn the Word. And if a person is truly saved, there should be a hunger for the Word of God.
Amen.
There should
Amen.
Be a hunger to study the Word, to know the Word, to apply the Word. And if that person is truly saved, no way you can say, I'm a Christian, and then adhere to Islamic beliefs. There's no way you can say, I'm saved, and yet convert to Islam. It does not work that way. It's an impossibility. And yet we find those today that will go to Islamic nations as a military person or as a contract for military operations and convert to Islam, either because it's convenient or because they want to marry an Islamic woman and then live a life as an Islamic, and then somehow, some way, in later years say, well, I've converted back to Christianity. It's kind of a flip-flop going into rotating doors as to which one you think is going to provide the most for you at
Amen.
A particular time.
Amen.
And I think it's time we recognize that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today, and that is the murder of unbelievers, that is, non-Muslims. And that's exactly what the Quran says. And we're going to talk about that further after the broadcast, after the top of the hour news. And we have Kenneth on the line holding. If he'll continue to hold right after the top of the hour news, we'll get back. Hang in there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
It's the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine,